What is going on, family? This is Speak. Thank y'all for tuning in. You could be watching any show, and you are hanging out with us. Shady, you're supposed to do that before we start rolling.
Because I had this little on my lip.
Before, like, that's what makeup is for.
That's what wardrobe is for. That's y'all. I don't do the makeup thing. That's y'all.
Shady, you realize the cameras are running? So I can show, like, you doing makeup.
Hey, you're a little,
I do makeup?
Hey, you're a little short over there, though, Jeff. It's helping you up as a dog. Raise yourself.
Uh-oh.
Raise yourself up.
Here we go again.
Hold on.
This is what I don't like.
What?
Don't lie to the people.
I don't touch no makeup, bro. Don't have me call a makeup lady over here.
We will settle this during the commercial break. That's Super Bowl champ James Jones. To his right, the brilliant Joy Taylor. To my right, he needs no introduction. Eagles all-time rushing
league. That is me. I did do that.
LeSean Shady McCoy. All right, let's get to Pittsburgh, shall we, people? Because the storyline of the NFL offseason was the one we are about to talk about. This is truly the most fascinating story in all of sports. It's the story of Russell Wilson. Now, he's been getting a lot of praise from his teammates, including tight end Pat Freiermuth, who said, quote, "You can tell the drive and determination that he has to win and come to Pittsburgh and win some playoff games for us." If I can be honest about...
Oh, we live. My bad. I take my parents serious. My bad, bro.
I mean, look, this is supposed to be a locker room, right?
Not so, this specifically.
I mean, no, like, that's what we do not, here, right? Like, it's what we do.
I mean, every time he brushing, but I don't see, like...
No way! Like, there's not one singular wave.
Hey, listen.
Not one iota of a wave. Not an atom of a wave. There's not one wave.
Now, y'all my boys.
He took it there.
Y'all don't want to joke. Not on live television.
Here's the thing. I mean, come on, clarity.
I will embarrass y'all.
For clarity.
Get to Russell Wilson.
The purpose of all of the hair brushing and the do-rag wearing and the wave cap wearing is for the waves. And when I look at LeSean McCoy's hair, I do not see a wave. So I'm just curious as to what you doing all the brushing for.
Right, hey, Acho, nigga, you got one more worry, dog. You will be the talk on Twitter. I'm telling you.
My man, hey, he tried to get his joke right, so he looked you up and down.
I'm telling you, my man. It will get ugly on this set.
Shady said, look, do I come for his shoes? Do I come for that?
Yeah, you know the public going to ride with me.
This is true. You will win in the court of public opinion. Can I get back to the show then, Shady?
Please, though.
Okay. Back to the show. So, Russell Wilson, he is the talk of the town. I think, though, Shady, the expectations for Russ in Pittsburgh, they are too high. Everybody's saying that the Steelers are a quarterback away. Russell Wilson is the quarterback. You think the expectations are too high?
I don't think so. I mean, we're asking Russ is going there to just be an efficient quarterback. That's what he's been his whole career, aside from that 1 year in Denver where they had dysfunctional organization, right? For the last couple years, they don't win at all. They don't develop players. You get in the thing with Hackett, you see what he did. So I don't think the pressure's too much for Russ. Going there, we have a great defense. You know what to do with that. You've been there. Solid special teams. You've been there. You had that before. Go in and just play ball. They got a good running game. You had that before. And everything he's had before, he's done well with. He's doing the same thing in Pittsburgh. So I think the team, the players, you've been reading, like, one thing that Tom Brady always taught us is, like, yo, if you want to know about a player, read the news clippings of what they're saying about him.
That's true.
Right? Not what he said about himself, but what they said about him. Everything he kept saying is how he's still determined. He wants to win. He has that fire in his eyes again. The eye of the tiger, Rocky Balboa. Philadelphia, he's real. Anyway, if he can just keep that fire up, keep the guys, being a leader like he's always been, they're going to be fine. They're going to be happy to have Russ.
Well said. Joy Taylor.
I don't think the expectations are too high for Russell Wilson. This is still a quarterback that won a Super Bowl and went back to another one. He's what most of us think is a Hall of Famer, or at least was on a Hall of Fame trajectory at one point in his career. He's a fringe Hall of Famer at best if you don't feel like he is a shoo-in for the Hall of Fame.
Right.
And he still can play football. So the expectations are completely appropriate. What do we expect of someone who just got $100 million in Kirk Cousins? We expect for him to take them to the playoffs and probably win a playoff game. We're not talking about them like they're a championship-level organization.
That's a good one.
But he is supposed to improve what is a really good young roster in a rebuilding organization. What do we expect from Baker Mayfield? Baker Mayfield won a playoff game, right?
I thought you were like, I should answer. Go ahead, but go ahead.
I mean,
it wasn't
because what are we expecting from Baker Mayfield?
We expect him to get them to the playoffs, probably win a playoff game.
Right.
Anything more than that is a little on the positive side, right?
We'll praise him.
Would be an incredible accomplishment. I think that's a fair expectation for Russell Wilson at this point. And forget the fact that he's not being paid a lot by the Steelers. He's being paid a lot by somebody. It just ain't Pittsburgh. So the expectations are completely fair. I think they're realistic. And I think he's going to achieve it. He is going into a great situation. He's got a Hall of Fame head coach.
Yeah.
He's got an established culture. Mm-hmm. He's got weapons to work with. And he has a really good to great defense. They were the eighth most takeaways last season. They had the sixth best scoring defense last season. T.J. Watt speaks for himself. 19 sacks last season. Alex Highsmith, they added Patrick Queen. He doesn't have to go in there and establish the organization. He doesn't have to go in there and establish a culture. He's not being asked to do all the things that he was asked to do in Denver. And Denver didn't set him up for success in hiring a first-time head coach.
So what are your expectations for Russ?
My expectations are for Russ to get them to the playoffs and win a playoff game.
Hmm. If those are the expectations, I don't think they're that high. I don't think those are the actual expectations of the Pittsburgh Steelers organization, because I think Baker Mayfield could do that. Get the Steelers to a playoffs and win a playoff game. Kenny Pickett got them to the playoffs. I do think there's a delta between Kenny Pickett and Baker Mayfield. So if the expectations are simply to get to the playoffs, win a playoff game, I don't think they're too high. But I think Russ is being set up. I think he's being set up by us as analysts with the expectations, because the premise is that the Steelers are just a quarterback away.
Yeah.
They're not just a quarterback away. Because if the Steelers are just a quarterback away, then if you bring in a quarterback, then you should be where you think you're supposed to be, which is contending for a Super Bowl. Russ is not the difference between the Steelers and a Super Bowl. Another cornerback is, granted they got Jackson. Patrick Queen, if he can keep playing at the level he played at with Roquan Smith, is. But remember, Patrick Queen without Roquan Smith was a linebacker who they didn't pick up the fifth-year option on. A starting center is. A wide receiver number two is. A wide receiver number one that can prove to be a wide receiver number one day in, day out, week in, week out is. But definitely not just Russell Wilson. If the expectations are just a playoff game, then I agree. I'm with Joy on that. I think the expectations are fine. I think that's it. But I think those would be the expectations if you had any top 18 quarterback, like a competent quarterback playing the game. So, James, where do you stand? Too high or no?
Before, because I was a surefire no until I came up here out of this meeting and looked at these notes again and answered. So, no, but I got a question for the whole table. Do you guys think we are holding on to the old Russ for too long?
What's the old Russ?
Great question.
Because he's never been the best player on his team.
I know, but
and he's not now.
What the old Russ did, the old Russ delivered wins. That's why we called him dangerous. That's why when you said Baker Mayfield and Kirk Cousins, I don't even think we ever had Russell Wilson in the category with those two dudes because of the way Russell Wilson won. I could be wrong, but as I look at this,
he wins though.
Since 2021, he's 17-27. That's a 39% win percentage. Mm-hmm. The only quarterback that has a worse win percentage is on his team.
Oh, he's bald.
Man, we know who that is. So for me, I feel like, are we holding on to the old Russ to come back and deliver? Because everything's set up perfect, right? Same team Seattle, right? Basically, right? Defense not as good as the Legion of Boom, but really good defense. Top 10 defense, right? Solid run game.
But that's the
solid
lie.
Solid receivers on the
that, to me, is the lie that we're setting Russ up for. This is not the same team as Seattle. This defense cannot sniff Seattle's defense. This run game cannot touch Marshawn Lynch, with all due respect. Pickens, I know y'all love Pickens. I like Pickens, too. I really like Doug Baldwin.
All I'm saying is, Acho, how were they winning football games last year?
Defense.
Defense, of course.
And a solid run game, not a Marshawn Lynch run game, but a solid run game to help Kenny Pickett. That's how they were winning. That's how Russell Wilson's football teams
Understood.
Win. They're not exactly the same talent and all that. The Legion of Boom was something else, but they do have a really good team and a solid run game.
To answer your question, though, right, I think the Steelers can do well with this Russ, because it's the old Russ from the Seahawks, right, when they had the defense, they had the running game. Where I think when he went to the Broncos, we were like, yo, he's about to save this franchise. That's what we talked about. They're not asking to do that there. We want the Russ, right, that was good, that managed the game a certain way, let the defense do things, right, control the game, we're going to run the ball, make your plays here and there, but that's a winning formula for Russ. With Denver, it's like he had to be that guy. Russ is not throwing enough yards. We never talked about that. Russ is not doing this, because that's not him. He's going to succeed in his offense and his team.
But my only thing, then, I agree with Acho, because then the expectations got to go up. If we are sitting here saying, with what Kenny Pickett did, the Steelers got here, and then you bring in a Hall of Fame talent quarterback in Russell Wilson, the expectations should be Super Bowl,
but,
right?
Come on, man. Contending for a Super Bowl, like...
Keep doing it against the Super Bowl.
Who's contending for a Super Bowl?
I would say the Ravens. I would say the Chiefs. I would say the Bills. I would say the Bengals.
So the Bills win a playoff game.
But I'm just saying teams that have a chance.
So are the Bills contending? Because if winning a playoff game is contending for a Super Bowl, because that's what the Bills are doing, correct? Bills weren't in the AFC Championship game.
Not last year, no.
So were the Bills contending for a Super Bowl?
I think to as far as teams that you think have a real chance.
But we are talking about results. So results, based off of the results, the Bills won a playoff game, did not make it to the AFC Championship game. What we call the Bills contending for a Super Bowl. Like, what's the cutoff for contending for
to
Super
Bowl? To me, the cutoff is, are you capable? Like, that's it.
Based upon what we know about, they weren't capable because they didn't do it.
Yes, but Joy, you're talking black and white.
We're talking about the scales of gray. Last year,
you got the right injury.
Here you go, Shane. I'm talking black and white right now, which I can do well for that reason also. What are we talking about? We're talking about results. Winning a playoff game, meaning you advance to the next round of the playoffs, is that contending, or is it only the teams that make it to the AFC Championship game contending? Because as we also know, the AFC is a loaded conference.
Yeah.
So where is the scale? Because I agree. I don't think that the Bucks, just because they won a playoff game, were actually contending for a Super Bowl. But why is that applied to the Bucks and doesn't apply to the Bills?
Because you can – not you can. I try to, not you, the proverbial you, I try to apply looking at roster, looking at quarterback play, looking at talent and saying, this team is actually capable of winning. I did not believe the Bucks are capable of winning. Now, the Bucks lost like the Niners lost, but I do think the Niners were actually capable of winning.
Well, the Niners were actually capable because the Niners were actually there.
Correct. But I would say the Lions lost like the Bucks lost.
But the Lions were in the NFC Championship game.
Correct. The point being is teams can still, like, the Steelers lost in the first round.
Correct.
The Steelers didn't have a shot of contending.
Yeah, they were not.
They like just they not with their quarterback play. So there are teams who you're like, you know what, you could have got them. Like,
but what I'm saying is, how do we make the jump from winning one playoff game to winning two playoff games? That's a big jump, and there are good teams that we think are contenders that don't do that habitually. The Dallas Cowboys have the most talented roster in the league. Are they in the NFC Championship game? No, they're not, year after year after year after year. So when we talk about these expectations, and we always get crazy with this, the difference between winning a playoff game and not winning a playoff game is a lot. It's very hard to win in the postseason. Being able to even compete is a lot. They weren't able to compete. So to say that Rush would go into a situation, his first year with a new team, mm-hmm. in a new system, completely new environments, and take the Steelers from no wins in the playoffs to multiple wins in the playoffs is a realistic expectation, that's not reality. Like, it's dismissive of all the other talented teams in the AFC and what the Steelers actually are.
So I understand the Kansas City, Super Bowls is hard to win.
Yes.
Right? I understand the Kansas City Chiefs have been the only team going back there consistently. Every year is different. Every single year we come in here, it's probably 5 to 6 teams that we can sit here and say they have a legit shot to get to the Super Bowl. Whether they win one playoff game, 2 playoff games, get to the Super Bowl, they have a legit shot. Ooh, they got a quarterback, the Houston Texans. Ooh, they upgraded on defense. This team has a shot to compete for a Super Bowl. I'm just saying, with what the Steelers have and what they had at the quarterback position last year to the upgrade they have this year, with the team they have a shot to compete for a Super Bowl with Russell Wilson. And I think that should be the expectations. Winning one playoff game, we tried to do that with Mason Rudolph last year, and we tried to do that with Kenny Pickett. So with Russ, I just think the expectations should be higher if all of us at this table agree with the quarterback the Pittsburgh Steelers can compete with anybody, right?
So yes. The Steelers have to make it to the AFC Championship game this year?
That should be the expectation. Because if you are acquiring a quarterback who you believe, and I believe too, is a Hall of Famer or fringe Hall of Famer, and you got a coach who's a Hall of Famer or fringe Hall of Famer, but I think Mike Tomlin's a surefire Hall of Famer. Yeah. Like, that should be the expectation. If you ever link up a coach, quarterback, Hall of Fame combination, the expectation, whether it was Drew Brees and Sean Payton, whether it was, we won't speak of Tom Brady, we can talk of Matthew Stafford, fringe Hall of Famer, and Sean McVay. Whenever you Aaron Rodgers and Mike McCarthy, but I don't know if people would put Mike in there. I don't want to derail. I'm just being honest. Like, if you ever combine a quarterback head coach and they are both Hall of Famers or fringe Hall of Famers, expectations should be compete for that, because otherwise, why get Rodgers?
When has that happened and worked immediately?
Stafford.
Okay, Sean McVay is a really good coach. I don't think we would have said Sean McVay is a Hall of Famer until after he won the Super Bowl with Stafford. So prior to that, he was a really great coach. A lot of people thought Kyle Shanahan was a better coach than him. So I mean, certainly they had comparable resumes. So that's like a really good coach in Matthew Stafford. And I also think that's an outlier. Tom Brady and Bruce Arians, I think, also is an outlier.
But eventually, at what point do outliers become the norm? Because an outlier in 2021 and an outlier in 2020. That's two of the last four. Right. Like, outliers usually is an outlier because it happens once in a blue moon.
Real quick. This is why I hate when we talk about Super Bowls and all that. Because, like, it's only a couple people who's winning them. So, like, we always ask about A-Rod and he's going to sink Super Bowl with the Jets and all this. I don't think so. It's only about 3 to 4 teams that we could say can actually go. And we would say, who would it be? Chiefs.
Right.
Niners.
Ravens. You would hope.
I won't even say the Ravens.
I know.
But I get what you're trying to say. Okay. You see what I'm saying?
That's three teams. And guess what all those teams were? In the Super Bowl or in the championship round? So all I'm saying is, like, Eagles? It sounds good to say that the expectations should be that. Realistically speaking, with all of the factors involved, I'm not trying to lower the bar. I just think that winning a playoff game is still an accomplishment, especially when you're considering the fact that they weren't able to get that done. Like, the difference between not winning a playoff game and winning a playoff game could be Russell Wilson, and I think that's a realistic expectation. And I think that he would have at least delivered in the first year what he was brought there to do.
Do we think Detroit has a chance?
I actually do.
And yeah, I want to see him again.
I actually do.
How much better do we think Jared Goff is than Russell Wilson?
He's not. He shouldn't be.
How much better do you think?
Oh, he's better than
Okay.
But he shouldn't. Yeah, I agree with you.
How much better, if they are better, is the defense better than the Pittsburgh Steelers defense?
No. Lions defense is not better than Steelers.
You know what I'm saying? So that's all I'm saying.
I think they're a better team. See, you could have a better defense or have a better offense. But when you look at a team, how you balance it. Mm-hmm. Yeah, our defense ain't that good, but, yo, our offense carries us a certain way, right? And they know how to balance it. Yo, I ain't gonna lie, our defense ain't that good, but, yo, when our offense needs to stop, we get them a stop. Yeah. So it's all about how you balance a team. I think the Lions team is a good team.
So really, with all that being said, I know it's AFC, NFC. Let's just say the gods bless both them teams to be in the Super Bowl. Would you be surprised if Pittsburgh beat Detroit?
In the Super Bowl? Yeah, I would.
You'd be surprised.
Yeah.
I wouldn't be surprised if they beat the Detroit Lions because I believe they have a good football team with a great football coach, a Hall of Fame football coach, right? So all I'm saying is with what they have a chance to compete for a championship. If we are talking about any team and we say they're a quarterback away, are they a piece away? In my humble opinion, I feel like when we say that, I'm not saying a piece away from a playoff win.
No, I agree with you.
I'm saying a piece away from winning a championship.
But don't you think, but that's the point I'm making is that is the lie. We said that about the Denver Broncos. Let's not
forget. So you don't believe in Russ
that's not realistic, I don't think.
Yeah, I'm saying if that's a standard, there's like two teams that I think can actually compete.
We're
getting very generous with who actually can compete for a Super Bowl.
Meaning, like, I do believe there are about five teams that can.
I think that's really generous. If we do that every year, I agree. I think every year we have 5 to 6 teams that we think are stacked and have the quarterback and have the coach and have the skill positions and the defense and all that. And in reality, there ends up being, like, 3.
Well, I think when I say can compete, I'm saying if a play would have broke this way or that way. For example, the Niners could have been in. The Lions could have been in. The Packers could have been in. Like, those are 3. We all know if the ball go the wrong way versus the Packers game, with all due respect, I love the Niners, Packers advance. You already know what type of time it is. The Lions have 3 fourth downs against the Niners. Yeah. If they get one of them joints, I love the Niners, the Lions go. So that's 3 from that side. Then, obviously, the Chiefs went. I think outside of the Chiefs, I think it was really only the Ravens, and we could argue how close the Ravens really. Okay, I'm with you. I'm just trying to be nice. So I would say 4. What I'm talking about, though, Joy, is like looking at, use the example of the Texans. Mm-hmm. Texans won a playoff game. They weren't close to winning the Super Bowl. The chasm between the Texans and the Ravens was gigantic. Mm-hmm. So I don't believe just winning one playoff game means you're contending. The Ravens weren't contending last year. The Texans weren't contending last year, though they won a playoff game.
Right.
Cowboys won no playoff games. And I would suggest, like, you know what? Yeah, I think the Cowboys had a shot. I think the Cowboys had a shot. Now, you could argue, of course they don't.
You say they got talent.
That's and a roster. Yes. If you wanted to say, of course they don't, I would listen to y'all.
This is the difference between winning and losing to me. Like, this is why we keep score. Because I hear you. A timeout this way, a call this way, a bounce this way. That's why you play the games, right? We don't do 7-game series in football. You show up, you play the game. The winner goes on, the loser goes home, and that's how history is written. I hear you, we can add some nuance to that, but if I'm the team that won, I don't want to hear about that. We did what we were supposed to do, and that's why we moved on. So when I say one player could be the difference in that, one player could be the difference in not competing and competing. to say that Russ is supposed to come in here and now all of a sudden the Steelers are supposed to be competing, like they're Super Bowl contenders in year one, I feel like that is just an unrealistic expectation. I would love that. I think that would be
because
amazing.
Because of Russ?
I think.
Because that's what I'm saying. Because well, that's what I'm, like, the we're kind of dancing around it all. I'm saying that I don't believe Russ currently is good enough to be the difference. If it was Josh Allen, I'd be like, you know what? They'd be competing. That's what I'm getting at. Because when we say, when we say, like, it's like this. When we say they're a quarterback array, what we really need to say is they're MVP-level quarterback play away. That's really what we need to say. We say, oh, they're just a quarterback away. No, you're not. No, you're not. You couldn't plug Trevor Lawrence into the Steelers and be a quarterback away.
You remember this when I used to be like, yo, we talk about Super Bowls way too
much. Loosely.
Because even like, let's say Russ plays his best. I still don't think that the Steelers are going to win a Super Bowl. I don't.
My favorite. Why? Because I think to me, because they're more than a quarterback away.
They just haven't been there in so long, I can't even see them doing that, right? They need a lot. We might say it's all Russ, but I think it's more than Russ.
That's where I am getting
to. Another thing is, I mean, but I say it's not all on Russ. I think they need more than just Russ.
So we got to stop saying quarterback away then.
That's all I'm saying.
What I'm saying is I never really, like, get into, like, the Super Bowl. Like, now that we kind of – I like that now we're kind of filling your boy, and now we on the same page.
Yeah, conversation. We say Super Bowl conversation.
Because, like, even Josh Allen, that's my guy. Stephon Diggs, you can't tell me they shouldn't be in the Super Bowl. But as I look at the teams over and over again, I see the same patterns. I'm like, yo, they not Super Bowl contenders to me.
But you feel me? Hear what I'm saying on
this. You know what I'm saying? You think it's the quarterback and all that? But, like, I've been watching y'all.
But what you know is this.
And you lose the same team?
But you could say at least to sleep at night, you could say one play away. You could say, if not for do it, Kels, they would have been there. You can't say that about the Steelers.
Yeah, man.
Like, the Steelers are so far away. At least the Bills, you can say, you know what? Maybe if it wasn't
they are closer. Yeah, but that's what I'm saying. Like I don't want to, like, do the game of, like, who's closer. You know what I mean? You're playing 21. I got 20. I'm just saying, when we talk about who won in the Super Bowl, though, it's only a couple dudes.
I know.
That's it.
Well, I understand what y'all are saying, but... Before the season starts, we do Super Bowl picks. Mm-hmm. I had the Jets and the Cowboys. Giorgio, I believe, had the Buffalo Bills and somebody else.
Because the Eagles.
Because we think they are contenders just by the roster. Not saying it's going to happen.
Right.
The main reason you thought the Buffalo Bills was contenders, probably not this last year, but years before, good defense, great quarterback, good receiver play.
Coach, right?
So that's all I'm saying. That's what Pittsburgh has. And if we're saying just win a playoff game, they was in the playoffs with Kenny Pickett and Mason Rudolph. So I think the bar is set way too low if we, like, Russ, just win us one playoff game.
You know what? See, we always talk about the Russ thing, right? But I don't know how the offensive weapons for Steelers is going to play at that elite level. Because you know what?
That's a question.
I haven't seen it.
Bingo.
You would think that Pickens would be this dog because we heard about it.
No question.
Coach said, I watched him at practice. Like, he looked good at practice. That's cool with camp.
Cool.
That's cool.
No,
right? Or they traded Deontay, right?
Yep.
Right? But I'm just thinking overall, we think that Najee Harris is going to just kill because he...
Correct.
We don't know that. So as much as we want to give it to Russ, I think that's that Steelers team. I need to see more than that on offense.
I mean, you got to put it together, but I'm just saying on paper... And what we've seen the Steelers what we've seen the Steelers do last year and the way they played football and how they won. And watching all their games, we're like, man, if they had a quarterback. You even brought it up. If Russ just do what he did in Denver last year,
this team
will be better, right?
Have a good year.
And yes, it all has to play out. I remember, I don't even know if y'all was with Philly, but when y'all signed Vince Young and all them and y'all was the dream team, and y'all was sorry. But when y'all signed all them people, everybody like, ooh-wee, they got a shot. They got Nnamdi Asamoah. They got Vince Young. Are you cool?
I was never sorry.
But y'all team was
sorry. We had a bad year.
Yeah, you had a bad year. But when you got all those players, I'm sure y'all read the papers in Philly and all that. Like, this team could win a Super Bowl. It didn't play out. I don't know how it's going to play out, but the players they have, they have a chance.
But that's what I'm saying. Every year we do the on-paper thing.
Every year I thought I was going to win the Super Bowl.
We get a little long on the paper. We probably need to, like... You know, just put the rest of them in pencil.
Well, in reality, the Bucks are not doing good. That's not just on paper. That's in real life on the court. They lost to the Wizards, fam. They lost to the Grizzlies. They lost to the Raptors. They've lost four in a row. This is the longest losing streak of their season. But how much blame are you giving their head coach, Doc Rivers? It looks like a sinking ship. Can they right it before the playoffs? That's next. Don't forget, check us out every day. Fox Sports Channel on Sirius XM. The Bucks are limping heading into the playoffs. It's not going great for them. They've dropped four straight. That's their longest losing streak of the season. They've also lost 6 out of 7, family. It's been all bad. Head coach Doc Rivers, he held a film session with the team's top 9 veteran rotation players, and each of them was given a chance to speak. Few things worse than a players-only meeting. And it's a coaches, veterans only meeting. I'm not exactly sure what that is, but it ain't helping. It's not at all helping. A lot of blame, well, maybe a lot of blame to be passed around in Milwaukee. Joy, how much blame are you giving Doc Rivers for the Bucks' struggles?
Let's hear this.
Oh, man. Ready for it. Listen, this is Doc's fault, for sure. Am I surprised that they're having a players only? What is it? Not players only meeting?
This one wasn't players only. I don't know what this is called.
Players, coach, veterans meeting. Oh, how many games?
Is this a veterans
coach and players?
That's every day. Oh, that might be the captains, though.
9 of them, Sadie. It was a rotation.
Oh, 9 of them?
We don't do this in football.
I don't know what that is.
I don't know what any of this is, because the season's almost over. We're about to head into the postseason. What we got to regroup about? Why are there so many problems? Why is all these issues?
And you think it was one of the things where it's like, he meet with some guy, and then, hey, look, man, he said it was your fault.
He leave out, hey, look, bro. Hey, he said it's your fault. You ain't passed the ball.
We got to get in the room together.
That's crazy.
Hash it all out. We got to show the text messages. It's the whole thing. This person's email per my last email. At the end of the day, when they made this hire to bring in Doc Rivers after they fired Adrian Griffin, we were all pretty surprised.
Yes.
Right? We did the topic. We were a little shocked that that was their choice. Not because Doc is a bad coach, but his reputation is pretty consistent.
Like, overrated a little bit. You can say that.
Yeah.
Let's just say no one really goes to default that championship was Doc's doing, right? Why we don't talk about that championship that way? There are some championships where, like, yeah, the coach was really an essential part of them winning the championship. He has a championship, and no one can take that away. But his reputation is what it is for a reason, which is why we were surprised that they hired him, even though he has a championship. So what I will say is this. I think there is lots of blame to go around. And while Doc, I don't think, is doing a good job, because you shouldn't be having these kinds of meetings and having this sort of disruption at this point in the season with the talent that the Bucks have and the standards and expectations that they rightfully have. But Doc didn't hire himself. And when they hired him, we were all surprised for a reason. And then they fired a coach that had them, 30-13 and had them second in the West because of personality differences. And you all know how I feel about that. I mean, suck it up. What? Is this a new thing? You just met this guy? You don't know how he gets along with everyone? You didn't vet him with the players? He just got power and went crazy? I guess that happens sometimes. But if that does happen, then you have to be intentional about your next hire, right? Because you have championship expectations. So I guess I'm just saying that if it's Doc Rivers' fault, that's fine. But there are other people who put Doc Rivers in position to make these mistakes. And it shouldn't be too shocking if when they hired Doc, we were all surprised that was the move that they made. So it just feels like there's a lot of, not even really quiet, there's kind of obvious dysfunction within the organization. You don't have your championship winning head coach there. You don't have the coach that was there at the beginning of the season that you hired to replace Bud, who was doing a objectively good job, obviously subjectively not a good job because he couldn't get along with anyone. And then you bring in someone who has the reputation that Doc Rivers has. We're all surprised. And now at the end of the season, there's dysfunction as you're heading into the postseason with championship expectations. It just feels like there's a lot here when we shouldn't be having these conversations. And by the way, we're not having these conversations about any of the other contending teams. So why is that happening is my question.
Doc Rivers.
Doc, that's the answer.
That's the answer. Like, Doc is the problem, and getting rid of Doc is the only solution. Ooh. You can't. No, of course not.
He said Doc.
Mr. Rivers, whatever you want to call him. Like, Doc is a problem. So the Bucks are trying to search high and low. They're searching all over, trying to find out who in the world is the problem. Right. Meanwhile, the only problem is Doc. I don't know if y'all have ever played those murder mystery games, and you sit in a circle and you try to identify who in the world is the killer in the friend group.
That's a good game.
And the person who is the killers oftentimes trying to throw off the scent. No, nah, I think it's shady, man. Yeah. No, I think it was Joy. I heard Joy move in the middle of the, you know what I'm saying? Hey. It's Doc.
Shady would be good at that game.
He would be phenomenal at it.
I've never played it.
I know.
Doc Rivers, Doc is the guilty one. Yeah. Doc's trying to throw the scent off. You know, players are not mature enough on road trips. He's trying to throw the scent off. Now we just need to have a veterans-only meeting. He's trying to throw the scent off. Doc Rivers is the scent. He's the stench. He's what you have to get rid of. If you get rid of Doc, you get rid of your problems. Since Doc has showed up, he has more losses than the Celtics have all season. This is a Doc Rivers problem, and getting rid of him is the only solution. Whenever that happens.
Oh, it's on me.
Who's it on?
I'll take it. Yeah, this is completely Doc's fault. All the great head coaches that I've been around or heard of has control, number one, the team. But number two, everybody around the team. And I might not mean the GM and all that or owner and all that, but they are in control. And what I mean by that is whatever a coach is say, usually it comes out in the players. So Andy Reid is preaching this message, yep. LeSean McCoy is going to get up in there. Listen, man, hey, we got to get tougher as a football team because that is what
the message
Andy Reid is preaching. It's been all excuses from Doc Rivers. So it's been all excuses from everybody else. Doc Rivers has never came into this thing and brought all these dudes together. And when Doc got the job, that is what I was excited about. Yes, all this other stuff might not be going good, but if it's one thing Doc Rivers can do, is he can bring some players together, right? That's what I thought Doc Rivers could do. But this team is not together. And then he gets up there and he comes up, and we had it a couple days ago, just all the excuses he made. Then lately he came out and said, you know what, when we get on the plane, it's all these people's fault. It's the train. So he is not bringing nobody together, and it starts with Doc Rivers. The good coaches put all this stuff to rest and let the players truly focus on playing basketball and winning games. And Doc is creating questions and everything else for everybody except coaching and winning basketball games. 1-6. You have Dame Lillard, Giannis, Middleton, a really good basketball team, a team that people thought can compete for a championship.
Every year.
And now that you're over there, they don't have a chance. That's how I feel. Yep. They don't have a chance to win a championship. To be honest with you, they better pray they don't see the Sixers in the first round because they might be out in the first round.
Tell them again, James.
So with me, this team doesn't have a chance. And before the season, with the first head coach, we thought this team with Dame Lillard had a chance to win a championship. Now, since he has came over there, it has been downhill.
And my thing with Doc is this is who he is. So you ask me who gets the blame, he gets all the blame. Before he got there, there was the second team in the East. That means they're playing really well. And then the Bucks, they've been good over the years. Last 5 years, they've been a good team. Every year you
great
think,
team, bro.
Every year you can say on the East that, yo, the Bucks, you can bet this. They're going to be top three without a doubt in the East. So you bring Doc there, like, okay, and I can see the management, right? Joy, you said the management kind of has some they blame. I get it because they did hire him. But you think that, hey, I'm hiring a future Hall of Fame coach? Because he's going to get the Hall of Fame, right? Now, I think he's super. You don't think he's going to win? He might. He overrated to me. I'm just saying. When you hear his name on a list of who you can hire, like, his name jumps out. Yeah. I mean, the things he's done, but he's not that good of a coach. And you can see it. They went from number two before he got there to now. It's like they lose every other game. And then you got Dame and you got Giannis. What else you need? And you got a winning team. They used to win. So I'll just say this. Doc can't fool me.
Mm.
He can fool you, he can't fool me. He's going to tell about the maturity level of the players. When on the road, they're not focused, they're doing this, they're doing that. That's every team.
That's a lot of excuses.
My first, this is why I never wanted to gamble on basketball games unless it's the Warriors.
Uh-oh.
I would hang out in the club. Bottles, people, women, everybody hanging, have a great time. I look over, I'm like, I'm sweating. Like, I know that he got a game tomorrow. I know the Sixers, they in the club too. I said, okay, so this is what they do. Then I watch the next game, three ball, they score 40. I'm like, dang. I didn't say the dude's name. I'm like, dang, this is what they are. So my thing is, when you talk about on the road and all that, that's what happens all the time. It's not nothing new. Everybody talks about this. Matter of fact, Paul Pierce is my man. I ain't gonna get to that. That's the boss thing. Anyway, I'll just say this. He can't fool me. My thing is this. Every team goes through that, right? Especially basketball players. They're gonna have a good time. They're gonna show up next game, and they're gonna win. That's what they're supposed to do. Doc Rivers, you're not coaching a good enough job, bro. You're not. Because everything we talk about is always excuses, what he did, what they didn't do, what this and that. Pick up your pants, man.
Fuck it up and let's go.
Shady.
Pause.
You're saying that Doc can't fool you, right? You feel like he's overrated.
I've been thought that.
You've been thought that. Good. Okay. Mm-hmm. Let's hold on to that thought.
What I'm going
to
say, well, the reason why is because when I watched that freaking Boston team, my God, you only got one?
Right.
You come to this Philly, right? This is when James Harden was still playing pretty good. Mm-hmm. You can't win it all over there?
Correct.
Lead and all that?
All of that happened.
Clippers?
Correct. All of that happened before this moment with the Bucks, mm-hmm. right?
Mm-hmm.
We all felt this
right.
way.
Right.
We don't feel like it's new information how Doc is behaving, right?
Well, everybody don't feel like that, though, because he got a big name for a reason.
He does,
right?
He does. Yeah. But a lot of people feel this way. And regardless of that, the evidence, the results speak for themselves. We know the talent that he's had and the opportunities that he's had to coach that talent. And we know the expectations that they had because of that talent, which were correct. And the results that we got because of it from him. We knew all of that. Water is wet. If I pour water on you, is it the water's fault or is it my fault? You talked about that, the clue and who's the murderer. There's also mystery game. There's also accessories to that, right? That's all. You can get charged as an accessory to a crime. All I'm saying is decisions were made within the organization to bring Doc in. Doc's results and excuses and what's happening right now is because of him. But what I'm saying is he didn't hire himself. He didn't sneak into the bank and steal the money and put it in his account. If you want to run a functional organization with championship expectations, they shouldn't even be in this position in the first place. We shouldn't be doing a topic about the Bucks having a players, veterans, coaches meeting. The season's almost over. We're about to be in the postseason. What I'm saying is I can't simultaneously look at the Bucks organization and say they're doing all things right. And then you're on your third coach in what? 2 years, 3 years? And you don't have your championship. If this was any other team, we would be talking about how dysfunctional this place is being.
So let me ask you that. Do you think the Bucks, Milwaukee Bucks, is a dysfunctional organization?
Right now, I don't know. I don't see how you couldn't say that.
But do you think,
I don't think historically they are a dysfunctional organization. No, not at all. I think they're actually a very well-run organization. I think their GM does an excellent job. But someone, we don't know who, it's the mystery game. It's the mystery game.
Who is responsible for
all of these moves being made? Because when we look at organizations that are habitually competitors and at the top of the league, they either have the best talent in the world, which the Bucks have, or they have consistency and talent, right? But they don't have consistency right now.
With the old coach, they was a really good basketball team.
Correct.
That's the only position that changed.
Whose fault is this?
I'm just saying.
And then who hired Doc Rivers? Who made his choices? All of us sat up here. Right. But you know what happens when people do that?
So they get
held accountable for bad decisions.
But why are more GMs getting fired then? Why is it always the head coach first, right?
Because they're the ones getting the money. They're the ones that are supposed to put the team together.
We don't talk about GMs. And I think that the GM there actually does a really good job. He has a reputation of making really good choices, trades, bringing players in, developing players. I'm saying right now, in this moment. Hold on.
So you can't say that. You can't say that they're so great. They do this and that, all this and that. But this moment, they're bad. It's like that's sports. You can be great for so long, but you're gonna have a bad time. It's like a great player. You be great all this time. Steph Curry's gonna have a bad moment because that's part of sports.
Right.
Am I tripping? So all I'm saying is if you're gonna give the blame to the organization, you can't half do it like that. You can halfway give it to him.
No, I'm giving blame to Doc Rivers because he's not doing a good job. And I'm giving blame for the person that put him in that position because Doc Rivers had a reputation that you said yourself you felt about him. We did the topic. We all were shocked.
Let's work with James. So I don't think Doc Rivers is that good of a coach, right? That's just my opinion. But for the talent that he's been given, he's went far with.
Correct.
This is probably the worst we've seen Doc Rivers.
Okay, so
to their credit, right, to the organization's credit, the GMs and all that, listen, I seen him with the Clippers. I know they didn't win a championship, but they went pretty far. Okay, I seen him with the Sixers, right? They didn't go to the finals, but, man, they got to game seven. They got really close. Boston, even though they didn't win one championship, they did pretty well.
They did win, as
an organization, they call them dysfunctional because right now they hired Doc Rivers and not playing well. I don't think that's fair.
I'm not saying they are historically dysfunctional. That would be objectively inaccurate. What I'm saying is right now, they are on their third coach in 2 years. Yeah. They had a coach that was doing at least win-loss column, production level, a really good job, who did not have, to our knowledge, any off-the-court issues, any institutional issues to be moved on from. So we're basing this off the knowledge that we have. It was a personality decision. And then we all sat up here, one, two, three, four, and agreed that this was not the right hire. And we were surprised.
So really, you didn't think they would be this bad. When they got docked, though, right? Did you think that they'll be this bad this fast?
I did not. I know I did not.
So really quick.
Are they in the playing game or something?
No,
but they've lost 6 out of 7.
Yeah.
Against terrible teams.
Just to be clear, I don't think they're in a good spot there, but they are exactly where they were with.
I mean, Sam's a 12-game gap.
Okay. What I'm saying is, how bad did you expect them to be based off of the topic that we did when they hired him?
I thought
they would fall short in the playoffs.
No championship. That's my only thing, they would fall short in the playoffs.
They would do good.
We get to the championship games.
They're never going to the championship.
They're not going with Doc. That's what I was thinking.
Yeah, that's where I'm at.
But
as of right now, we're all still right.
Yes, that's what's going to happen.
Hold on.
No, we don't know what's going to happen. So we are, as of right now, today.
But it is Doc's fault, though.
You're trying to trick me right now.
So just help me out, though.
Doc is probably, outside of them winning a championship this year, Doc is not going
to
be there.
So just help me out, if something does happen, I know who to blame it on. So if Acho brought you on this show,
correct,
and the ratings go all the way down,
correct,
it's his fault.
It's the person who gave you the power to do that.
That was a good solid question.
There are people who are in a position to make these hires. It's not his network. Is this the Acho network?
It ain't the Acho network.
So that's not how it works.
So we blaming Acho, but Acho blaming them. That's
just pass the buck. But thankfully, ratings are up. So if the check gets higher, then yes, the buck gets higher also.
That's crazy.
Well, we're done with the buck and the bucks. Next up, Stephon Diggs. He's paired with C.J. Stroud in Houston. But am I crowning them too soon? I think they're the second best team in the AFC. Am I tripping? Am I not? Do y'all agree? That's next on Speak. We're just getting warmed up. James, don't speak no negative ratings over my life.
Joyce said no point.
All right, family, there have been a lot of moving pieces in the AFC, but because of the continuity of one particular team, I have them jumping all the way up in my top 5. Now, if you think about it, you got the Dolphins at 5, you got the Ravens at 4, you got the Bengals at 3. How about the Texans? To me, they are the second best team in the AFC behind only the Kansas City Chiefs. The addition of Stephon Diggs, plus the continuity of offensive coordinator Slowick, C.J. Stroud is only going to get better. D'Amico Ryans is only going to get better. Tank Dell is only going to get healthier. Nico Collins now has to go from being wide receiver 1 to wide receiver 2, plus Joe Mixon at the running back position. Defensively, you added another beast of pass rusher outside and opposite Will Anderson. Then at linebacker, you aided that position core in Jeff Okuda just to add a little extra at the cornerback position. I think the Texans made all the necessary changes to jump all the way up to the number 2 seed in the AFC. But Joy, that is a strong jump I have them making, given that they got the brakes beat off of them in the divisional round versus the Baltimore Ravens. So did I crown the Texans too soon?
Dang. The Ravens all the way down to 4?
Ooh, my goodness.
You know I love me some Joe. I like him too, but okay.
That's what you're doing?
We have a different topic.
You got JoJo Burrow and the Texans in front of Lamar Jackson, MVP, just was in the AFC Championship game.
Yeah. Confident.
Explain that. Because Joe Burrow and them lost a lot, too. A receiver might not. He mad.
I trust, very simply put, I trust Joe Burrow, and Joe Burrow has proven to be able to get further than the Ravens and Lamar Jackson, even when Lamar Jackson was an MVP previously.
And then Lamar beat the Texans.
Beat him down.
Sorry, JoJo.
There's a huge exchange between the Texans' talent and the Ravens' talent. I can elaborate on that. So you think I've crowned the Texans too soon, obviously.
Go ahead, George.
I like what the Texans have done on paper. And they had an incredible season last year. I think that C.J. Stroud is going to continue to get better. But they have tape on you now. And you're not sneaking up on anybody now. And they're also going to look and see what's on paper and apply that to the game plan now. So the advantages that you had in being a complete underdog and completely overlooked and a rookie head coach and a rookie quarterback are out the window now. So I do think you're going to get everybody's best shot. Now, maybe they'll be so good that won't matter. But I'm interested to see how off paper, on the field, all of that plays out. I think the Texans are going to win their division. I think they're in the top of the conference. I'm a little hesitant to put them above even the Bengals or the Ravens, historically speaking. But so I don't know if it's too soon. But yeah, go ahead, James. I'm a little sad part. I just don't want to drop the Ravens that far. I mean, it is, you know, it's a two-time MVP. Well, it's another season in that offense. They added Derrick Henry. I realize they lost some pieces on defense, but.
Yeah, I just think it's a little bit disrespectful to Lamar Jackson. Main reason is Lamar wins every year.
In the regular season.
You know what I'm saying? Like, so it ain't like this was like a one-year wonder. We don't know what C.J. Stroud going to do next year. Do I think he's a phenom? Do I think he's an excellent quarter? Absolutely. But Lamar has shown it year after year after year. This is a two-time MVP, and he slapped y'all in the playoffs.
He did.
And so for me,
slapped.
All that on paper could be true, but maybe the type of dude I am, out of respect, Lamar Jackson would have been at two. You were the second best team in the AFC last year, would have been at two. I don't know what the Bengals are going to be. Lost some key defensive players. Receiver ain't happy. Lost a really good running back in Joe Mixon. My dog Shady always say, I ain't seen Joe Burrow with not a lot of talent around him. Who knows how the Cincinnati Bengals are going to look? So I think they are up there too high as well. The Ravens at four, that's the one that really stands out. I think you tripping. Texans is definitely not number two in the AFC, but on paper, could catch a lot of people's eyes with what they have done, especially going to the playoffs and having
so
the year they had.
So when we talk about this, when the trade happened with Stephon Diggs, what did I say? Remember what I said?
Second team.
I said the Texans is the second best team in the AFC.
On paper.
Whatever it may be. I watched a rookie quarterback and a rookie head coach with a good wide receiver core. Is that cool to say?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay. They did well, right? Battle in their division, didn't win.
And then they
won a playoff game. Yeah. Then you add Danielle Hunter, who gets after it for a lot of years, right? And then you add Stephon Diggs. And if you do remember this, when Josh Allen had Stephon Diggs, he was still good, but he wasn't that.
Yeah.
You gave Stephon Diggs to Josh Allen. You know what happened? 53-22. Averaging 30 points a game, 270 yards passing through the air. Are you kidding me? All type of all pros and Pro Bowls for both of them. Yeah. So if you look at what C.J. Stroud did without Stephon, imagine what he's going to do with him. Yes, the whole city is going crazy down there in Houston. They can't wait for it. I just think if you're looking at the teams in the AFC, you got to say the Chiefs. But then let's look at the Ravens. Let's keep it real about the Ravens. Every year they're good.
That part, regular.
So we get in the playoffs, right? And I will never disrespect Lamar Jackson because that's one of my favorite quarterbacks.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? He holds it down. But the best thing about the Ravens and Lamar Jackson's era of playing there is what? The defense.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Am I tripping? Let me stop if I'm not.
Helps people say Lamar.
Let's just say last year. Let's just say last year.
No doubt.
The best thing about that team, right, even
defense.
With an MVP, was who?
Defense.
The defense.
Last year. Yeah, defense.
The defense. It's not as good this year.
Correct.
They're gonna be good, but they're not as good. So I gotta look at them differently, right? I think they improved a little bit on offense because Derrick Henry, he's a beast. Mm. But defensive wise, they're not the same. Where the Texans got better on both sides of the ball.
They're always good.
And then what you think is Stroud gonna look like this year? He gonna get better this year? And what you think D'Amico Ryan's going to do this year? So I'm going with the Texans. You ain't tripping about that. The other stuff you was tripping with.
No, the reason I
And Joe Mixon. I forgot about Big Joe.
There are so many additions.
Joe's nice, bro.
So
Joe's nice for them.
But to me, it's not even just paper because it's not even just like when you say paper, sometimes we just think about like, oh, well, names on a sheet. I'm also thinking continuity. Like the Ravens lost their defensive coordinator. That matters. Ask the Philadelphia Eagles. The Houston Texans, like, think about it. Like, the Houston Texans retained Bobby Slowick, their OC, who was brilliant.
That's true.
Plus, D'Amico Ryans, he's going to run that defense. And we can talk about the big names of Stephon Diggs. I'm not even worried about that. It's the linebacker you added that had 150 tackles last year. It's the Neil Hunter opposite Will Anderson, who was rookie of the year defensively, and he's going to get better. It's Joe Mixon, who was an afterthought in Cincinnati because they've been so pass happy. And now you have Joe Mixon in the backfield, and you have Tank Dell, plus Nico Collins, plus Stephon Diggs, plus I believe Mechie's still there, assuming he's healthy and everything's good, plus Dalton Schultz, plus you have a great left tackle in Laremy Tunsil, and they were great last year. So it's not just like these are names on a sheet that hopefully they're all coming together. It's a team that proved to be great with continuity. It's, that just means a
thing. You just got to forget a year. Will Anderson.
Yeah.
But it's going to be interesting because, like Joy said, you ain't sneaking around no more. I was part of some really, really good football teams. Super Bowl football teams, 15-1 football teams. And when we played sorry football teams, this is a stats game, right? But them other players on them sorry football teams, I'm like, bro, you wasn't playing this hard on tape.
That's true.
You wasn't playing this hard on tape. Now all of a sudden, you see us out here and we 13-0, you all of a sudden playing a whole lot. They are going to get everybody's best shot. It ain't no walking in here, oh, here come the Texans, it's a dub. How many games you expect the Texans to win last year?
Four, five.
That's what everybody playing them thought,
true,
too.
But keep in mind, though, James, like, and I agree with what Joy and you were saying, but by week 12, you're getting people shot. In the playoffs, the Cleveland Browns, they gave them their best shot. They just, their best shot wasn't good enough. Plus, think about the Texans division, bro.
But all
Texans
I'm saying,
division
Nigel,
is real.
Even when they got around week 12, right, we do picks on this show. I guarantee you probably wasn't picking the Texans after week 12 all the time.
Well, Stroud was 16 touchdowns, 4 picks. I feel y'all, though. More to me than best shot, I do agree. They'll have more film. Thus, you'll have more tendencies. Thus, you'll have more weeks of preparation.
So they're true contenders to you.
Yes.
To everybody.
I'm just saying because we just had that conversation.
I mean, I think this team is really good.
Could win the Super Bowl.
Things went right, yeah.
Yeah.
Their division's not that tough, right?
That's so the one. Be in the playoffs.
So I think they're going to win their division. That's the one part.
So you don't have a playoff game.
So we all talk about the Super Bowl crap and all that. You got to win your division
first.
That's the first goal. All right? Yep. I think they can do that. Yep. Then you get the home field advantage. You get the playoffs. I've seen what they look like at home. They won at home. They beat the Bears.
Browns.
No, the Browns.
Yep.
All right? That's possible. And then, hey, now you got some weapons, right? If you go against that Ravens team, that defense ain't the same. You got some players on your side. It might be a good game. So, yes. Yeah. Hell yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know what y'all watching.
It's going to be bad. Either way, the Texans are going to be the
team. And they coach well.
Incredibly.
Respect on Lamar name.
Incredibly.
How's Lamar, man?
He does. I mean, he does. Real good player. One more win than playoffs than C.J. Stroud. When we read.
He does.
Oh, yeah. I know that. That's.
He does.
I ain't doing that. See how he slid that in?
He buys something. Let me move over.
What are we talking about?
I love Lamar.
Man.
You behave.
Two-time MVP.
Oh.
Yeah, you did. You slid that.
Lakers-Warriors, they tip off in a few hours. But who is a bigger threat in the West? That is next on Speak. Huge game tonight right here in L.A. The Lakers host the Warriors in a battle of teams that are currently in the play-in tournament. Now, both teams are also hot at the right time, with the Lakers winning 9 out of 11 games and the Warriors winning 7 out of 8. Shady, coming to you first. You watch the Warriors, you watch the Lakers. You love you some Steph Curry, you respect LeBron James. Who should the elites fear the most, the Lakers or the Warriors? I see you put the crown on.
The crown's for who?
The king.
And who's that is?
Bron,
but not today. Take the crown off, right? I'm going with Steph Curry. I'm going with the best shooter of all time. And I'm not talking about Caitlin. I'm talking about Steph Curry. And my thing is this. When you look at the Warriors, if it's any team that's in the play-in that can find a way to win a championship, find a way to get to the Western Conference Finals, who's it going to be?
Who's it going to be?
It's going to be the Warriors. You can't count them out. What, 2 years ago, everybody was saying, oh, there's no way he's going back to the finals. Ain't no way, Steph. And what did they do? They find a way to win. So I just feel like when you watch the Warriors, even though they've been up and down all year with different lineups, different minutes, they just got that team bond, like where you just, and that chemistry where any given night, they could beat the best teams. But in any given night, they could lose to the worst teams. But if I had to pick, because the Warriors and the Lakers are the same team to me, I'm going with the Warriors. I'm going with Steph Curry.
Going with Steph Curry. Joy Taylor, what say you? Who should the top teams fear, Lakers, Warriors?
I mean, they're kind of the same.
They're like twins right now.
One's a little bit taller, though.
Now, if I got to go who's a little bit taller, it's got to be the Lakers.
I was a little bit taller.
I understand.
Who you taking, though, Joy?
I mean...
Come on now.
I guess the Lakers.
Yep.
They do have a better record this season against playoff teams and against Western Conference playoff teams.
Oh, you said Lakers?
The Lakers do. Yes, they have more wins this season against playoff teams and against teams that are in the playoffs in the Western Conference. So if that means anything, they perform better against the better teams than the Warriors do, and that's what you're going to have to do in the postseason should they make it past the play-in. And currently, one of them might not. So we'll see. But I think that the Lakers also were in the Western Conference Finals last year. I think they have the ability right now to get back there, but I don't disagree with Shady. When you're looking at the Warriors, they have all the factors that I would say that the Lakers would have in the postseason, in championship pedigree, in experience, in leadership, in coaching. So I think they're splitting hairs here about who they should fear more. But if I have to pick, they're not going to make me do my job. I guess I'll pick the Lakers.
Lakers. I'm going to the Bay Area, and I'm going with the Warriors. And I'm doing that because Bron let us know, a couple weeks ago, ain't no lead safe with Steph Curry, right? That's what Steph has showed this generation. A 20-point lead with Steph Curry on the court is not close. The Warriors are playing really good basketball right now, last 6 out of 7. But if they catch fire, I just feel like they that much more dangerous than the Lakers because they can shoot that ball, the air out of the ball. So I'm riding with Steph Curry in the Bay Area because if they get hot, winning championships like they have with their coach, I'm taking the Warriors.
Bay Area.
James, you know what's interesting? I don't think it's close. I'm going Lakers. I'm going with the Lakers. I don't think it's close because I think the Lakers have more firepower.
Do you?
One, Warriors don't even have a real number two right now. Like, AD is good to steal a game or two. D-Lo good to steal a game. Like, Lonnie Walker stole a game last year. When I think about the Lakers, at least you have people who can take games. No. I'm saying like Lonnie Walker stole a game. He's not even on the roster. But I'm saying, like, D-Lo's capable of going for 28 to 30. Reeves obviously has shown you he's capable of going for 24 to 30. AD, we don't need to talk about him. Bron, we don't need to talk about him. The Warriors are Steph Curry. The days of Klay Thompson, 60 points off, 11 dribbles, those days are over. Draymond not doing nothing for you. Wiggins not doing nothing for you. CP not doing nothing for you. By not doing nothing for you, I mean not winning games for you.
Right. Have you been watching Klay lately?
Is Klay going to steal a game?
Klay heating up at the right time. The one thing about the Warriors, everybody has to play well enough for our system to work. And when I say that, I need Draymond to, like, stay on the court. To stay on the court, bro. Right? Him there. Kuminga, he's healthy now. He's playing. He's back playing, right? And he's been going up. So you talk about getting 20s. He can give you some 20s. With some defense. Hold up. And then you look at Klay. With Klay rolling. But the main piece that we really missing, when he plays well, we win. Wiggins. Wiggins is starting to play a little better. So what I'm saying is, I hear what you're saying. But if I had to bet money on the role players.
Team basketball.
You going to take D-Lo before you take Klay?
I'd take Reeves, though. I would take Reeves.
You going to take Reeves? A good Reeves playing well? Before you like a Kuminga? You see, what?
Shady.
Yeah, all right, okay. If you ask the team who you want to play, you want Kuminga or you want Austin Reaves? But I know who they're going to take. Oh, last one. And then who's the other one? What other role player you said? Who
was it? AD Bron.
Oh, that's all y'all got? Because we got some other ones that's in the mix too now. But since you want to give me two, I'll let you breathe.
But I mean, you don't have to bet money, but like you could.
Don't make me. Because I could do it. Don't make me bet. I like the bet.
I tell you, want that bet?
No, I don't. What's up?
I mean,
be humble and clear your glasses.
You want that bet,
family? When we return, CeeDee Lamb, he is hopeful for a huge payday in Dallas. But until he gets it, should he hold out? Y'all know about that kind of drama. Y'all recommend it or not? That's next on Speak. All right, CeeDee Lamb is coming off of a first-team All-Pro season. Incredibly hard to do. But now he's in line to be the highest-paid wide receiver in football. Reports say, however, he could hold out of off-season workouts if he doesn't get an extension. CeeDee was asked about that recently, and he said, quote, I'll be in Dallas. Now, he didn't necessarily specify if he was going to be in Dallas to practice. He didn't necessarily specify if he was going to be at the Star. He just said he going to be in Dallas. I would assume so. He lives there. Shady McCoy, should CD hold out for a new deal?
Yeah. And if he don't get paid, he will hold out. That's how it works. I mean, it's not a bad thing. I know the fans hate that, but that's what's going to happen. He's going to be in Dallas at home, right? He ain't going to be at the facility for sure. For what? He's that good. They need to pay him. We love to talk about how Dak Prescott had a great, phenomenal year, which he did. But a lot of that goes to CeeDee Lamb. You know what I hate about the NFL? No, seriously, though, about these owners, right? Because you were talking about that earlier about the ownership. What I hate is I draft a player first round because I think he's really, really good. This dude's nice. We got to get him. He's going to help our team out. He's going to be our franchise guy. Cool. Then when he becomes that.
You don't want to pay him.
You don't want to pay him his worth. I don't even understand it. So, yes, I think he's going to get his money because he deserves it. He's not on the Dak Prescott situation where it's like, how much are we paying? Is he worth it? He's worth it. You got rid of, what's my man from, what's the wide receiver before him? Amari Cooper. That's a brain fart. Amari Cooper was really, really good. Mm-hmm. So when you decide to move away from him, that was ballsy. That was like risky. Like, you going to do this? And it worked. Mm-hmm. So the Cowboys offense is not the same without CeeDee Lamb. So Jerry Jones, I know you feel the same way about Dak Prescott. He's a little different situation. Pay this man, CD, and then Dak, I can figure that out later.
James, you're the wide receiver at the desk. What you say?
Something else, Shady. Yeah, get your bread, young fella. Sit at the house. Sit at the crib.
Like Fortnite.
It's one thing about CD Lamb. He don't need Dak Prescott to have an all-pro year. CD Lamb is one of the type of receivers that, in the National Football League, that it doesn't matter the quarterback, I could get busy. That's the type of player that CD Lamb is. So, the Dallas Cowboys need him. Number one, you just let Gallup walk. Who else you got?
Yeah, Cook.
So when you have the upper hand to get all your money, and he should be asking for $30 million a year. Mm-hmm. Tyreek Hill make $30 million a year. A lot of people might not think he's better than Reek, but it's his time. So it don't matter if you think he's better than him or not. He's going to be around that $30 million number. So I would sit at home because he has so much leverage right now. They have no other receivers out there that's going to give you a CeeDee Lamb, but even if you didn't want to bring him in, you ain't got no receivers that you can compete and win with.
Right.
So sit out. You have the leverage right now. When you don't have the leverage and you're not playing at a high level and you're making big-time money, Shady, what they do to you?
Mm.
Cut you. And they ain't trying to negotiate none of that. They cut you or get you up out of there. So now that you have the upper hand, get your money, young
fella. Anywhere number 88. You know, everybody wearing 88 for Cowboys, they be nice.
And get paid.
They be nice. That's the locker room. They be nice. You know, I meant that.
You were cut, Shane?
Huh?
You were cut?
Traded.
Never. Ever.
Oh, you were.
Never.
We had that conversation.
I asked for a pay cut. I said, for who, for what?
And then they cut you.
He got cut. He must have got. Did he get cut? Oh, see, that's like, he want me to join him. Like, we all been cut.
No, you haven't. Are in there with me.
I'm not. Joey, don't start now.
Research. Shady been cut.
Anyway.
Shady been cut. I know he
tell
has.
Tell us the transaction date.
Can I tell you this for a second, Joey?
Yeah.
This is a true story. You ready for this? There's only been two times in my career I've ever had an extra year on my contract. Yeah. So when my contract got low, they ain't even waste some time.
Yeah, got you paid.
Let's rip this up.
Got you paid.
Let's rip it up.
But that one time.
Hey, no. Joy. Yo, you know, Shane, you know you got 2 years in your contract.
You know, that's all cool.
So I don't know about what he got going on.
The other time, they cut you, though.
Yep.
And it's all good. It happens to the best of us.
That is how it happens.
Technically, though, that Peyton Manning got cut.
Of course.
It happens to the best of us.
If you don't get cut, you didn't play long enough.
Yeah, it happens to the best of us.
That's literally get cut.
It don't mean you're a bad player.
I didn't get cut.
Can I get the date, please?
It doesn't mean anything.
It definitely means something.
What?
He like, what it mean, Ajo? He ain't no good.
August 31st, you were cut by the Bills. But you signed with the Chiefs after one of the
Super Bowl. I just told. Did y'all listen to what I'm saying to y'all?
No. He has to be
cut. What? I'm going to let my
you
dog.
You didn't say
cut. I'm going to let my dog.
So you have to be cut.
Yeah. I'm not giving.
Oh, me too. So that's what we're saying now?
Well, you asked to be cut? They said, Shady, we owe you $7 million. We want to give you.
Oh, they
we want to give you $4.5 million. Hey. I said, no, you're not. I need my whole $7 million.
And they cut.
You gonna pay these bones? That's the issue. And then they said, well, Shady, I said, you know what? I'm out. Talk to my agent. It's like, talk to my lawyer. Talk to my agent. I left. You know what I mean?
And then on the ticker, it said.
And then, no. Cut, and then they called back trying to, like, you know, Shady. I said, nah, let me go. I'm done, dog. And I left.
So he cut himself.
Yeah,
well, he didn't get cut.
Anyway, I think that CD should hold out and they should pay him. I don't know how this offense runs without him. And I think he's a certified number one receiver. I'm glad we don't have to have that conversation anymore.
Hello, because they was hating on him.
Yeah. Yeah.
Who's they?
Peoples.
At the desk?
I think it was James. Fox was hating a little bit, too.
They were. All right, well, staying in the NFC East, Jalen Hurts got a huge boost in the backfield with Saquon Barkley, but how big of an impact will he make on the Eagles?
You see that green machine?
Saquon Barkley moved on from the Big Apple and went to a division rival in the Eagles. Hopefully they forgive him for that. But in the meantime, the Eagles are loving it. Paris Campbell, teammate of Saquon Barkley, said, quote, I think he's going to show people why he's the best running back in the league. Well, we got our running back, one of the greatest the game of football has ever seen, in LeSean Shady McCoy, a person who has never been cut outside of his own fruition. So, Shady, how big of an impact will Saquon Barkley have on the Eagles?
Oh, man. From Tommy to Montgomery to Westbrook to Deuce Daly to Shady McCoy. Now you got Saquon Barkley. That's what we do. We get the running backs. I'm so happy he's here because now we really see how really good he really is. You play for the Giants? I mean, who's good over there? Brian Daboll, the coach? People. So I'm happy to have him there. I think the only thing is when he's there, I don't want to just force everything to him, right? We have such a good team. Where Saquon can get everything done with 18 carries, right? Maybe 15 carries, three passes. You got still AJ, you still got Devontae, right? And you got Hurts. He's gonna take some runs. We're gonna have a really, really good team. And don't forget about Dallas Goedert. He's still out there. So
really good offense.
I love having him there. Saquon gonna ball out and bring my boys to a ring.
How you feel about the defense?
So they can tend to
suspect. The defense is kind of suspect.
So offense gonna go crazy though. I think Saquon will ball. I don't think he'll have a huge impact. I think he will ball. I think he'll put up 1,500 all-purpose.
1,500 in impact?
Yeah.
Oh, all-purpose?
All-purpose.
I think he'll have 1,500 rushing.
Ooh, that would be insane.
Because so what Swift, mean, Swift had he'll what, have a good year, no impact.
Like Swift. Like Swift last year had, I think, 1,300 all-purpose. Yeah. But when I think about the Eagles games, I'm not like, oh, Swift made a huge impact. Because they didn't even use Swift enough.
I mean, gotcha. But when he did, though, we should use him more.
Correct. But the point about, like, when I think about the Eagles, I don't think to myself, Swift had a huge impact. He had great numbers, but Swift wasn't like, you know, changing the games. Every day we came on to the show and said they should have used Swift more.
So for me,
the games they hold up, but the games that they won, right, they were struggling all game, he was an impact.
But did we ever have Swift pitcher up there like this?
Nope.
When he signed?
Why? His name ain't as big. His name ain't as big. That's why. Because they close. Don't him Swift?
And
him is close.
They are close.
Yes, they are.
But only reason I'm saying this is because we got this man pitcher up there, which means everybody else going to have his pitcher up there that play against him. And I'm just going back to my days. We didn't have a Saquon Barkley. We had zero running game, and then we found an Eddie Lacy.
Right.
And when we found an Eddie Lacy, I'm like, this what man-to-man covers look like? Oh, this is what cover three looks like because another man got to come down in the box. That's what Saquon is going to bring to me. So now A.J. Brown and Smitty going to be like, oh, they ain't in this cover two and dropping seven and all that. Because the fear of Swift might be on the same, but the fear of Swift is not the fear of Saquon, in my humble opinion, when he's in that backfield.
Understood. On the other side of the break, we will hear Joy Taylor's take. That is next. Joy, how big an impact will Saquon Barkley make this season?
I think he's going to make a big impact. I hope, like Shady said, that they use him creatively. I hope they don't, you know, make the entire offense go through him, but he will have an impact.
What
he is. Well, that's what he was brought there to do, is be creative. They have a lot to correct this year. They had a disappointing end to their season last year, so I really like this move. But Saquon is one of those very versatile
one-on-ones
running backs, so I think that they will be able to give him options in the offense, and they're going to need to carry it because, as we said, the defense is...
Yeah, we've got to carry the defense bad.
Not quite what it was.
Acho, are they contenders?
No. Way too many holes on defense. Way too many... Way too many holes.
But watch this. Watch this. Acho, are the Cowboys contenders?
Yeah, they're...
Oh, God. Why?
Much more...
Because they got talent?
What have they done? What have they done the last couple years?
The Eagles linebacker.
We've been to the Super Bowl, bro.
The Eagles starting nickel.
Every year we got a chance on the Super Bowl.
Who's the cornerback opposite
We've
play?
Done it.
Who are the starting
Yo, I'm done. I'm a hater, though.
Y'all still mad you tried to score on me earlier. Remember when Shady did that joint?
Hey,
I told you, you got one more warning.
Hell no.
It was like,
hey, you ran out of yourself. I don't know.